2 Kings chapter 19. Before we consider God's Word today, let us now seek the Lord's help and seek His guidance as we look into His living and infallible Word. Let us all pray. O Lord, we're glad that Thou art one who hears and answers prayer. We bless Thee, Lord, that Thou dost hear the cry of the righteous. Yea, Thou dost hear the very ravens that cry. And Lord, Thou dost respond to that cry and feed them. And O Lord, we cry to Thee this morning. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will come and feed us. We pray, Lord, that we might receive today the manna from Thy hand. For Thou hast shown us in the Word, and Christ has preached it Himself, that He is manna, sent down from heaven. And, O Lord, we pray that our souls will indeed partake of Christ today. For this we know is the only food that will do our souls good and will strengthen us and our faith. So, our God, come and minister to us this morning. We are waiting, Lord, upon Thee. And we pray, Lord, that we might be ready to partake of Thine own Word. We ask Thee, Lord, Thou will grant us the Holy Ghost. Grant us, Lord, His help and His power, that we might preach the Word. We might preach it with sincerity and earnestness. And in preaching the Word, we might preach Christ. For we ask all these things in His name, and always for His glory. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 19. And would like to base my remarks this morning upon the words of verse 14. 2 Kings 19 and verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. After being tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, we're told in Luke chapter 4 and verse 12, or verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him. And then these words are added, for a season. The devil had tempted the Savior for those 40 days. And then the Lord used the scriptures to rebuke the devil. And following those rebukes, we're told, the devil left him. But it was only for a season. In other words, the devil would return at an opportune moment. He would once again attack the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very similar to what took place in the life of Hezekiah. Sennacherib has sent Rabshakeh and others of his cohorts with letters to Hezekiah to tempt him, to taunt him, to try to get him to surrender. Because remember, the Assyrian armies have surrounded Jerusalem. Hezekiah and his people are held up in the city. And Sennacherib is fighting another battle elsewhere. So he wants Hezekiah to surrender. And he tempts him and he taunts him. The first time that he came to Hezekiah, Hezekiah rebuffed him. But now he has returned. He's back again, just like the devil. He has returned again. And once more he has come back to taunt and to tempt Hezekiah. And we read there in verse 9, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah. Send them again, saying, thus shall ye speak unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. See how he's trying to undermine his confidence and his trust in God, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. We said last week in many ways, we see Sennacherib is almost an incarnation of the devil himself. And so we have this devil man, as it were. It sent his messengers with a letter to Hezekiah. A letter containing blasphemies. Blasphemous words against the King of Heaven. Words that were inspired of hell, written by a man who was indeed a servant of the devil himself. Therefore his messengers in many ways might be described as messengers of Satan. They remind me of Paul. When Paul had that thorn in the flesh, he described it as a messenger of Satan. But here were the messengers of Satan coming to Hezekiah, once again taunting him and blaspheming his God. What was Hezekiah to do? He had an army, but it could never overcome the armies of Assyria. They had swept all before them, conquered the cities, indeed taken the northern kingdom, and now only Jerusalem stood in his way. What was Hezekiah to do? Well, Hezekiah did what any man of God would do. Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah went to the throne of grace. We read in verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter. He didn't cast it to one side, this meaning nothing, but he read it. And then we're told Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed. Verse 15. How else was he going to deal with Sennacherib? And dear Christians, so it is with us. How else may we deal with the reeling accusations that the devil hurls at us from time to time? How else may we deal with his relentless, repeated temptations? How else may we deal with those attempts to shake our faith and our trust that we have in our God? There is but one way. One way to deal with the devil in this way, and that is to take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. To go before the Lord, and like Hezekiah did with this letter, spread the matter before the Lord. What did Joseph Scriven say in that hymn? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what Hezekiah did. He took it to the Lord in prayer. He brought the letter to the Lord. And he spread it before his God. Here we have a wonderful lesson in how to pray. And that's what we want to look at today. This lesson that Hezekiah gives us. A lesson in how to pray. The disciples came to the Lord Jesus one early morning and said to the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." But here we have a lesson in how to pray. I want you to notice first of all regarding Hezekiah when he received this letter. Notice first of all Hezekiah and his action. Upon receiving the letter, we're told. In fact, the word letter is in the plural, which means that he received many letters. And this is confirmed with a reference in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 17. That old Sennacherib sent to Hezekiah many letters. And Hezekiah read them. And this particular letter, Hezekiah read it, and we're told he went into the house of the Lord. Here you have his personal action. The personal action of Hezekiah, whatever else others were doing or were not doing, Hezekiah was going into the house of the Lord to pray about this matter. He didn't go into a neighbor's house. Show the letter to a neighbor. Or take it to a friend and show the letter to him or to her. No, he took the letter into the Lord's house and he showed it to the Lord. But I want you to notice the steps that Hezekiah took. Look at the three steps here. Verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter. Again, verse 14, his name is mentioned. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed. See the three steps? One, he received the letter. Two, he went into the house of the Lord. Three, he prayed to the Lord. Three simple steps. There you have his action. But I want you to notice something else. Verse 14 says, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. It doesn't say Hezekiah and Eliakim and the elders. Or Shebna went up into the house of the Lord. No, Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord himself. He had received this letter with railing accusations against him and against the God of heaven. And he didn't show it to anyone else. He took it into the house of the Lord and he showed it to the Lord. And he brought his burden to the Lord in prayer. In other words, Hezekiah went into the Lord's own. And he went into the Lord's house with this letter and he prayed alone. He had received this news and this letter that greatly troubled him. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you have gone the way that Hezekiah went. At some time or other you received news that greatly troubled you. Maybe in the form of a letter. and you've read it. You dare not show it to anyone else, because what that letter contained was something too painful, too personal, for you to share with anyone else. And so this matter that troubled you, you've had to pray about it and pray over it alone. And you brought and carried that burden to the throne of grace, and you prayed alone. That's all right. For there is one who can identify with you. There's one who can identify with you and one who can identify with Hezekiah. For do we not see that one, that lone figure, kneeling in Gethsemane's garden, kneeling in prayer, his soul exceeding sorrowful even unto death? And as he agonizes in prayer, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Who is going to pray with him? Shall Peter pray with him? No. What about John? Will John pray with him? No. What about James? Maybe James will pray with him. No. He must pray over that burden, and he must pray over it alone. There was none to pray with him. There was none to pray for him. And dear Christian, when you find yourself with a burden that you cannot share with anyone else because it's too personal and because it's too painful, well, bless the Lord, you can share it with him. You can share it with Christ. And you can do what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah brought the letter into the Lord's house and spread it before the Lord. There you have his personal action. You notice his prompt action. We have seen his three steps. He received the letter, went into the house of the Lord, and then prayed. His prompt action. The moment he received the letter, he brought it before the Lord in prayer. We can see from these words that he did not waste any time in bringing this matter before the Lord. This is the action, first of all, of a spiritual man. To the spiritual man, this is the most natural thing to do, is to bring it immediately to the Lord in prayer. This is the action of a man of God. As we said before, perhaps the tendency of some would be, if they received a letter of this kind, would be to show it to a dozen people before praying about it. But not Hezekiah. He didn't show the letter to anyone. He immediately brought it into the house of the Lord, and the first person who he showed the letter to was the Lord. His prompt action, it was the action of a spiritual man. He didn't think about going anywhere else but to the throne of grace. Oh, he showed it to a friend, all right. He showed it to his closest friend, the Lord himself. He couldn't have showed it to a better person. A couple of Wednesdays ago, we considered the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter 6. And there in Luke chapter 6, we read that verse and looked at the words of verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And it came to pass in those days, what days were they? They were days of trouble. They were days in which the enemies of Christ had risen up against him. For we read in the previous verse, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. There was this prompt action. Whenever his enemies were filled with madness and he knew they were communing together what they might do to him, the first thing the Lord Jesus did was to go into a mountain to pray. That's exactly what Hezekiah did. First thing he did was pray about the matter. It's the action of a spiritual man. It's the action of a sensible man. Receiving a letter of this kind filled with accusations, insults, and blasphemous language, he may have been tempted to write a sharp letter back in reply or response. But then that was not Hezekiah's way. He wasn't going to do that. Remember what he said in 2 Kings chapter 18. When he received that railing accusation from Sennacherib, verse 35, "Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand?" Verse 36, "But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not." So Hezekiah didn't bother answering him. He brought the letter to the Lord and he spread it before the Lord and he let the Lord answer him. That's what he prayed about. Let the Lord answer this letter. Brought it to the Lord. See, whatever troubles we have and come our way, the Lord is the answer. He's the answer to those troubles. He's the answer to those problems. He's the answer to those needs that we have. This was a sensible thing to do, was to bring the matter to the Lord in prayer. Notice also was not only his personal and prompt action, but notice his particular action. When Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord to pray, he brought the letter with him, and verse 14 tells us, he spread it before the Lord. There's his particular action. The letter would have arrived in the form of a scroll. Of course, nothing like the letters we receive today. The letter would have been in the form of a scroll. And so when we read that Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, he just opened up the scroll. And what did he pray? He asked the Lord to look and to see what was written in the letter. Just a very simple action. He spread it before the Lord. He possibly went through it point by point, item by item, spoke to the Lord about the contents of this letter. "There it is, Lord, lying open before thee. Look at what Sennacherib said about thee. Look at his words of blasphemy." The fact that he spread it out would indeed indicate that Hezekiah brought every matter, every detail to the Lord in prayer. He spread it all out. Didn't hide anything. There's a lesson in prayer. We need to tell the Lord everything. Spread the whole matter out before Him. The apostle sought to teach this lesson to the church at Philippi. For he said to the believers there in Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." The words there mean, don't be full of care. Be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. I wonder, do we pray that way? Do we indeed spread the matter before the Lord? Do we deal with every matter, every point, every detail of that problem that is troubling us? Here's the lesson. This is what Hezekiah did. Maybe it's because we're in so much of a hurry. We don't have time to deal with each matter, each point of the problem. And so instead we are vague in our prayers. We're very general in our prayers. Well, Hezekiah gives us a lesson in prayer. He spread the matter before the Lord. Told him everything. Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, came to Solomon to prove his wisdom. And we are told in 2 and 1 Kings 10 and verse 2 that she communed with him of all that was in her heart. In other words, she didn't hold anything back. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. Dear Christian, let us commune with the one who is greater than Solomon. Commune with him of all that is upon her heart. Tell him everything. Every detail of the problem. Spread the matter before the Lord. Just spread it out. Then I noticed it was also a proper action. After receiving the letter, this was the proper thing to do. Proper thing to do when something like this happens is to pray. That's what Nehemiah did. When Nehemiah received a report of the state of Jerusalem after the Babylonians had taken Israel into captivity, we read in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah was greatly used of the Lord in building up the city again, repairing the walls and the gates. But before he did anything, he sat down and prayed. He was told about a broken city, and Nehemiah became a broken man. He prayed. Why? Because it was the proper thing to do. He never thought of doing anything else but praying about the matter, just like Hezekiah. Letters were written against Daniel. There was a conspiracy in the kingdom against Daniel. And when Daniel, we read in his book, chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's what he did. The proper thing to do. Again, he never thought of doing anything else, neither did Nehemiah, neither did the apostles. Over the next 4, they were arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were released on the condition that they would never preach in his name again. Well, of course, they weren't going to be bound by that. And they went out and they met with the other disciples, and what did they do? They had a prayer meeting. It's the proper thing to do. So, dear Christian, when trouble comes our way, in whatever form it comes, take the burden to the Lord in prayer. As the hymn writer has it, if the world from you withholds of its silver or its gold, and you have to get along with meager pay, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's a lesson in prayer. So we have his action. Secondly, we have his adoration. We are told here by the Holy Ghost how Hezekiah prayed when he brought this matter before the Lord. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And how did he pray? Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Here you have Hezekiah's recognition of God. Hezekiah recognizes here the one to whom he is praying. He recognizes his person. It is most important, believer, that when we go to the throne of grace to pray, that we recognize the one we're praying to. What did Paul say in his epistle to the Hebrews? Paul said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He must believe that he is. When we go to God, we must believe that he is God. And we must address him accordingly. And we must pray accordingly. We're going into the presence of Almighty God. No. He's not Daddy. He's not the man upstairs stairs. He's not the guy in the sky. As I've heard the Lord described by some. No, He is the Almighty. And if you've ever had the misfortune of perhaps catching a glimpse of some of these televangelists today and the flippant, familiar, irreverent way that they speak about the Lord and speak to the Lord, I tell you, it gives you shivers up your back to think that they would address God in that way. Look at how Hezekiah addressed God. Look how he spoke to the Lord. Contrast what you hear today with what Hezekiah and how Hezekiah prayed. O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. When was the last time you heard anyone pray like that? You know, dear child of God, that's something we ought to cultivate in our own prayer lives. That when we come before God, let us do so in the way that Hezekiah came before God. Addressing Him in this way as the Lord God of heaven. No, He's not the neighbor next door. He is the Almighty. He's the one who inhabits eternity. He is the one who will make His enemies one day His footstool. He is the one before whose face the heavens and the earth flee away. When the holy, holy angels, cherubims and seraphims are in His immediate presence, they bow their head, cover their faces with their wings, and they cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And when we come into His presence, let us adore Him by giving Him His right titles. May we fall down before Him as Hezekiah did, cry, O Lord God of Israel. You have here not only His recognition of the Lord, but His reverence for the Lord. His manner of address, the titles He used to describe as God, demonstrates how much He reverenced the Lord. Look at His place. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Hezekiah was a man who was aware of the fact that he went into the Lord's house and he got on his knees to pray, that he was actually before the Lord. He was right there, right before God of heaven. And so he conducted himself accordingly, reverence. Abraham conducted himself as Hezekiah did. When Abraham came before the Lord, in prayer. And we read in Genesis 18, Abraham, verse 22, Genesis 18, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham, being before the Lord, he recognized who the Lord is, because he says there in verse 25, he's praying for the cities of the plain. In verse 25 he says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" See, he recognized who God is. He's the judge of all the earth. And what was Abraham in his sight? What was Abraham in God's sight? Look at verse 27. "And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, Lord, which am but dust and ashes." He recognized not only who God is, but he also recognized who he himself was. "I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. But thou art the judge of all the earth." And so it is, dear Christian, when we come before God in prayer, and we have a right understanding of who God is, we'll have a right understanding also of who we are and what we are. We come before God in prayer. We come before Him. We are right there before Him. If someone has given the opportunity to go to Buckingham Palace, and they come before the Queen, well, they will behave themselves accordingly. They wouldn't dream of just addressing her as Elizabeth. They wouldn't say, "Well, Elizabeth, how are you today?" It would be "Your Majesty." You were to see the President of the United States, I don't think you would call him George. You know, I wouldn't. You would call him Mr. President. So when we come into the presence of the King of Kings, we ought to conduct ourselves accordingly. That's how it is in glory. For in Revelation 7, we read there about the elders, the 24 elders, and they're before the Lord. And we are told in Revelation 7, in verse 11, "And the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." They were before Him. That's how they conduct themselves in heaven. And what did the Lord Jesus teach us to pray? "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So we are to conduct ourselves on earth as they do in heaven. There's His place, He's before the Lord. You notice also in His praying, His promoting of the Lord. Sennacherib had promoted himself and his own God. He had boasted about his exploits and how the gods of the people he had conquered could not do anything, couldn't stand before him. And now with this in mind, Hezekiah prays and lifts up the name and the person of his God. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. These other gods, what are they? Why, they're only gods made of stone and wood, he tells us in verse 18. But the one to whom he was praying was a God of Israel. And so it is with us. We live in a world that blasphemes the Lord. Everywhere you go, he is blasphemed. Let us, at least in prayer, let us lift up his name. Let us make sure we glorify and adore the name of Christ. The name of the ungodly blaspheme. We should make sure that we adore in prayer. As the psalmist has said, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And the Lord himself has said, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And so in prayer, let us glorify God. So you have his recognition of the Lord, his reverence for the Lord, and also his relationship with the Lord. Because look at verse 19. Verse 19 of 2 Kings 19, here's Hezekiah's prayer. Now therefore, O Lord, our God. Hezekiah was able to say, this God, who is the God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubims, who made heaven and earth, he's my God. There's his relationship. And believer, when we come before him to pray, let us keep this very much in mind. He is our God. We are related to him through Jesus Christ his Son, through the atoning death of Christ. We're brought into that relationship. We've been reconciled to God, and he has been reconciled to us, and now we are his children, and he is our God. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Aren't we glad today that we're not worshipping a God of stone or of wood? And we're not bowing down before some dumb idol that cannot see, cannot hear, cannot speak. But instead, believer, when we pray, we're praying to the living God, one who lives forever in the power of an endless life, one who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is the Almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-glorious. He is all-conquering. He is all-victorious. And he's our God. Let us adore him. And the wonder of wonders, this great God of ours, when we go to him in prayer, he bows down his ear, and we can speak with him as friend with friend. What a wonder this is, a marvel. And finally and quickly you have his appeal. Verses 16 to 19. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Notice his plea. He calls upon the Lord to bow down his ear and hear. and for the Lord to open His eyes and see. And as I've just mentioned, here is one of the great blessings of prayer, that Almighty God will bow down His ear to listen to our faintest cry. That God will bow down His ear to listen to us. He bowed down His ear and He listened to Hezekiah. Hezekiah in the house of the Lord praying alone. Maybe nobody else heard Hezekiah, but the Almighty God heard him. He bowed down His ear. And we know that God heard him, because it tells us that in verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard." I have heard. And believer, when we pray to the Almighty of heaven, Almighty, all-glorious, all-conquering God, we know He has heard us, because He has bowed down His ear. There's a blessing in His prayer, there's a burden of His prayer. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Do you notice that? Notice Hezekiah doesn't pray for himself. He doesn't say, "Lord, look at what he said about me." But rather he says, "Lord, look at what he said about thee." He has reproached the living God. This is what he has said about thee. That was the burden of his prayer. He wasn't so much concerned about himself as he was about the honor and the name of his God. And this is his prayer. As we noted last week, he's asking the Lord, "Rise up and defend thy name. Defend thy honor." And what the world says about us shouldn't concern us, but what it says about our Savior should. We should pray the same. "Lord, rise up and defend thy honor and thy name." Look at his boldness in prayer. Notice what the Lord said in his answer to Hezekiah there in verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard." As far as Hezekiah was concerned, the time had come when it was time to pray against Sennacherib. And why did he pray against Sennacherib? Because Sennacherib was against God, verse 22. The repetition of the word against God, against the Holy One of Israel. Sennacherib was against the Holy One of Israel, therefore Hezekiah prayed against him. And dear child of God, it is perfectly legitimate to pray against those who have set themselves against the God of heaven. That's a lesson in prayer. Not only do you have his plea, of his, you have the promise. In verses 6 and 7, when Hezekiah sent to Isaiah and told him to pray about this matter, Isaiah sent word back again, "Thus saith the Lord," in verse 6, "Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." The Lord had already promised to defeat Sennacherib. But Hezekiah didn't just leave the promise there. He still prayed. He still prayed about the matter. Just like Abraham. Abraham was promised a son. And Abraham had to wait 25 years before his son arrived. But during those 25 years, Abraham still prayed for a son. Daniel was told that Israel was going to be in captivity for 70 years. Daniel didn't say, well, there's no point in me praying. But when the captivity commenced, Daniel commenced praying. So let us take God's word and let us pray. Pray through the promises. And notice the priority. It said in verse 19, he closes his prayer with these words, "Now therefore, O God, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thy us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." That was his priority. Sennacherib has been boasting about what he has done and how he has conquered the gods of these other nations and conquered the gods of the heathen. Now, Lord, show Sennacherib who thou art. Let him see that thou art the Lord God Almighty. Believer, that's how we should pray. That should be our priority. That in our prayers, we should ask God, "Lord, in answering my prayer, let everyone know that thou art the Almighty God, that thou art God alone." A lesson in prayer. Let's bow our heads now in prayer.